Dear Christian friends, God bless you as you continue your Lenten journey to the cross of Christ. Well, we're looking at the first lesson out of the Old Testament, which was the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. It's interesting, in 1631, King Charles ordered 1,000 Bibles to be printed, and they discovered there was a drastic error, and it was in our text from today. And there in Exodus 20:14, the Bible read, "Thou shalt commit adultery." All of the Bibles were supposed to be burned. 11 exist still today. It's called the Wicked Bible. A cynic recently commented, "The real reason it's difficult to get the Ten Commandments posted in our nation's courthouses is you can't post 'Thou shalt not steal' and 'Thou shalt not lie' where a building is full of lawyers and politicians. It creates a hostile work environment." And a recent survey showed that 97% of Americans believe in the Ten Commandments, but only 5% can name 3 or more of them. So you're sitting there going, okay, how many can I get down? Not sure. Well, in our Lutheran confirmation materials, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, we talk about the gift of the law. And even though we are saved by grace, the law is still a gift to us. It's a gift that tells us, how do we live in relationship to God? How do we live in relationship to others? And even though it's not the source of our salvation, it remains a good guide. It remains a foundation for a moral society and a moral life that we can follow. It is a blueprint, if you will, for a happier life. Now, one of the things, and you may have noticed it when the kids were singing their Ten Commandments song, if you still remember from Luther's catechism, the Ten Commandments, the order is different. Lutherans, Catholics, and Orthodox number the commandments different than most Protestants in America do. Catholics, and for years, and Lutherans followed what had been the numbering both in the Catholic and Orthodox Church, that the first commandment is, "You shall have no other God." And as part of the first commandment is that part, "You shall have no graven image." And then when you get to the last, we make, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house," 9. "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, or other living things," as number 10. Whereas in the Protestant tradition, those two commandments are one, and they split out the first commandment. And there's a reason for the Protestants separating and making 2 out of the first one, because after the Lutheran Reformation, there was a movement to get rid of everything Catholic, to get rid of robes, to get rid of liturgy, to get rid of art, to get rid of statues, anything that showed formality. And one way to reinforce this change was to split the commandment so that you highlight, "Do not make any graven image." And part of that interpretation was, a graven image is any image. And so after the Reformation, many of those churches had simply meeting rooms, no cross, no candles, no stained glass windows. Any image was considered a graven image. Whereas Lutherans, Catholics have said, no, that just has to do with idols, that the stained glass windows that we have can tell stories. Other stained glass windows tell stories that are in the Bible, that those things are not what the commandment is about. It's about setting up idols within a church. But that's why, and particularly if you hear a song like that and you say, "Wait a minute, I thought the fourth commandment was not kill, and they said the fourth commandment was remember the Sabbath." So it just depends on the numbering, and it came out of right after the Lutheran Reformation. Well, regardless of how you number them, the key point is that we should worship and obey God. And so an important part of the commandments is the way they're introduced. I am the Lord your God who took you out of slavery, who gave you the promised land. We don't obey the commandments because God's powerful, and if you don't, I'm going to oppress you. You know, we don't live in a concentration camp. God is not our commandant. Now, when he gives us the commandments, the first thing he does is he writes a preface to that. Why should you obey these commandments? Because I'm the Lord your God who delivered you out of slavery. I am a loving and gracious God. And it's in response to the God who has cared and loves us that then we are called to obey his commandments. Not out of fear, but out of love. And again, that's why we can call the commandments, you know, the gift of the law, not something that's meant to be oppressive at all. And so we remember, what is it that we remember about God that makes us want to follow his commandments? The goodness of creation. You know, every good gift is a gift from God. God makes the rains come down on the just and the unjust alike. That's a gracious God who gives us a beautiful creation as a gift to us, who makes us in his image with the ability to have a relationship with the creator of the world. We can't have a relationship with the Queen of England. You can't have a relationship with the President of the United States or other people of power, but you can have a relationship with the maker of the heavens and the earth. What a gracious thing. God says, you can have a relationship with me even in my creation. That's why we love and obey him. The gift of the law for the Jews, again, a gift God gives us to help us live in harmony with him and with others. The gift of freedom from slavery that's celebrated every year in the Passover for the Jews to remember how God had delivered them, how he gave them the promised land and how they conquered the promised land. And of course, for us as Christians, the key thing we remember is Jesus, that God came in human flesh and gave his life on the cross. And so before we ever consider what are the commandments, it's why should we obey them? Why? Because God is a good God, is a loving God. And that's how he starts the commandments. I, the Lord your God, who delivered you out of slavery. I don't want you to obey the commandments because you have to. I want you to obey the commandments because they're a gift to you. They come from your God who loves you and are giving them to you for your benefit. And that's why we obey them. And finally, if God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we depend on his Holy Spirit to say, if God was giving and doing good things in the Bible, then he must be doing and giving good things here to us now. And so we also need to look at our own lives and say, why do I love God for what he's doing for me? Has he healed us? Has he enlightened you with his Spirit to grace? Has he provided for your needs? Have you seen his hand guiding you and giving you good things within this life? And so we also say we want to serve God when we see his presence in our lives today. And you know, when Jesus summarized all the commandments, what did he say the summary was? Love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, heart, and strength. It doesn't say obey the Lord your God. The commandments are love the Lord your God. So for us, particularly in the Christian faith, when we look at the Ten Commandments, we say we are called to follow them because they are from a loving and gracious God to us. And again, they form the foundation for our belief in God. Now, the first three commandments, as we number them, are all about God. The last seven are about our relationship with others in society. And so, have no other gods. God is the one to be worshipped because of who he is. Don't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy to rest and to reflect on God and his goodness. And when we see the goodness of God is the only way we can truly obey his commandments, to honor his name and to remember him positively. And again, those other commandments are, how do we live with one another? And I just want to highlight a couple of them. Honor your father and mother, the fourth commandment. And it's probably the most misunderstood of the commandments. It doesn't say obey your mother and father. This is not a commandment for teenagers. This is a commandment for you guys. It's for us as we get older to care for our parents when they're vulnerable. And when they're in need and older, especially when Jesus and when Moses gave these commandments, there was no Social Security, there were no IRAs. When you couldn't work anymore, you either begged or your children took care of you. And so the commandment was, you want to live long in this land? Then children, honor your father and mother by caring for them in their time of need. I think this particularly is one of the challenges for us, maybe if you haven't had parents that were the best parents. Maybe you've had abusive parents, parents that abandoned you. But now the time comes when they're in need, when they're the vulnerable ones. And we have a choice we can make. Shall we continue the cycle of abuse that maybe we received that wasn't fair as a child when you were in need? Or in the power of Christ, do you say, I'm going to honor this person now who's vulnerable, this person now who is in need? Am I going to take the power of Christ and, as he has forgiven me, offer forgiveness even to parents? So whether you had loving, nurturing, caring parents as I did, and I think most of you had, or whether you were one of those who had parents that weren't there for you in the way you needed them, this commandment says when they're in need, when they're vulnerable, when they can no longer abuse, that's when you have the choice of how you're going to act. Will you continue the cycle, or in the power of Christ, will you honor your father and mother in their time of need? Another commandment, do not commit adultery. Be faithful to your spouse. You know, God has made all of us sexual beings. We'll be attracted to more than just our spouse. That's because that's how God made us. But being attracted to people beyond your spouse doesn't mean you act on that. Be faithful. This isn't so much about sexuality as it is about faithfulness. That you act in faithfulness toward your spouse. And we certainly live in a time where it's so easy. Society no longer has the harsh judgments about adultery. And it becomes harder and especially easier with the internet to make relationships with others on the internet that draw us away from our faithfulness to our spouse. And so nothing will ruin a marriage faster than adultery. So for your happiness, for your spouse's happiness, for your family's happiness, God says, you want to live a better life? Don't commit adultery. Be faithful. Again, that's what this commandment is about. It's not about sexuality in general. It's about, to you married couples, faithfulness is vital to happiness in your life. Then we have the other commandments that are actually part of our legal code. Don't kill, don't steal. Don't lie or bear false witness. It's particularly about being in court and lying so that a neighbor suffers because you haven't been honest in court, bearing false witness. Those are all legal things. We don't need to talk much about those because I think we all know that's part of our legal code. But it's the last two commandments that are a little more subtle. You shall not covet. It's not a word you'll even find very often or hear very often. To covet means to desire, and to desire with a lot of feeling and emotion, almost to the point of wanting to steal. But it's the sense behind it is, if you covet, you're not happy with what you have. And there is that balance between saying there's nothing wrong with having more things if you've worked hard, if you have that opportunity. What's wrong is always being unhappy or discontented unless you have things. You know, that's where St. Paul was so powerful to us. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And Paul had times of abundance. Paul was at times unjustly thrown into jail. I know those wonderful stories of Paul, even in jail, singing hymns of praise to God, because he knew what his real treasure was. He knew what gave him life, and it was Jesus Christ and his salvation and his love. That core value, that core treasure for him said, if I have things abundant, great, I thank God for the gifts, but if I'm in prison, in shackles, I'll still praise God for his gift of grace and salvation to me. And so coveting is one of those things that none of our laws govern our thoughts. But God isn't just concerned about our actions. He says, I'm even concerned about your thoughts. Don't covet, because you won't have the life I want you to have if you're constantly desirous. Give thanks to God for what you have. Give thanks to God for his greatest gift that we all have and share together, which is our salvation in Jesus Christ and eternal life that is promised to us. So once we have that gift of faith, once we see all that God has given us, then we don't need to covet anymore, because that's not the source of our joy. It is Jesus Christ. So we need to remember God has given us the gift of the law. Those laws are good things. Even more importantly, he's given us the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let us follow his laws. But more than that, let us love one another as he has first loved us. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, to live as you would want us to live is a challenge. There's a part of us that wants to think only of ourselves and our own wants and desires and feelings. And yet you have called us to love as you love, a sacrificial love, a love that honors parents in times of need, a love that is faithful when we might be attracted to others, a love that is content when we might be desirous. Lord, we will only fill your commandments as you fill us with your love. So send your Spirit, Lord. Fill our hearts to the capacity with your love, your grace, your salvation. And then in the power of your love, let us follow your commands and love one another. Amen.